It's time now for Green Visions, a program dedicated to green thinking and green actions. Now that the storm has been mostly cleaned up, the next big question is what you can do with the now empty spaces on your property. And we're talking today with Louise Levy, an arborist and founder of Levy Tree Care here in Duluth, about what kinds of trees to consider planting in your yard, when's the best time to do it, and what planning and work needs to be done first. Good morning, Louise. How are you?
Good morning, Chris. Fine, thank you.
The storm, to me, it was not very discriminating. It seems like just about every variety of tree out there seemed to have fallen down. It wasn't like all the firs or pines came down or just the maples. It was everything. And I don't know if this would be a time for people to consider replacing trees with a new kind of tree, or if there are some sort of trees that might now be considered avoidable because maybe they have weak root structures or don't grow well or things like that. But what's the first thing we should consider when we're looking at those new holes in our yard?
Well, with all of these empty spaces, it's an opportune time to edit. So you can edit your yard now that an unplanned unplanned removal has occurred in your front yard, backyard, uh-huh. maybe woodlot.
Are there some trees that ash might be something we avoid now because of the ash borer or the gypsy moth is affecting some trees? So are there some trees that are actually verboten?
No, there's no tree that's verboten. Ash trees, unfortunately, are a really fabulous tree to plant, and they're beautiful yard trees and boulevard trees. You would have to keep, you know, in mind that you'd be treating that tree for its lifetime. But other than that, ash is a wonderful tree, other than the emerald ash borer. Non-native species sometimes have more problems than native species. Many of the conifers that appeal to our eye, because they have bluish-green foliage, maybe the branch structure, leaf structure is very interesting. Those, like Colorado Blue and Black Hills and varieties of those, are susceptible to some native fungal needle diseases. And so the tree goes in and looks fabulous. Sometimes as soon as that season, sometimes shortly thereafter, sometimes takes a long time, they will likely become infected with these fungal needle diseases, and so that beautiful foliage and full coverage that you wanted slowly disappears. It can be treated, but you sort of commit to that unknowingly if you buy some of these conifer species.
Well, and you mentioned non-native. Should we be paying attention to nature and what nature has told us for the last several centuries, that there are probably some trees that are better in this region? We should consider going with that native variety.
Natives aren't always the best. Natives are good for a lot of reasons and not always ideal for others. Sometimes you want something that looks exotic or different, and that's perfectly reasonable and acceptable. With the temperature changes that we're experiencing, hotter summers, dry, long periods of dryness punctuated by heavy, heavy rain, and sometimes colder winters, sometimes drier winters, that's throwing a lot of things in disarray as far as our thinking goes. There are some species of trees that aren't native right now that one could consider planting because they'll do better as the climate shifts. For conifer species, a tree called Eastern Red Cedar, which is native in southern Minnesota, could be a good option. It's got a bluish greenish tinge to its needles. It's a pokey conifer, like spruces. Its needle, it looks like a cedar. It's actually a juniper genus. But that could be a good species to pick because it gives you the cover that you want. It might do better as the climate warms and temperatures are goofy.
What about fruit-bearing trees? Something that could become actually useful in our yards, not just decorative.
Fruit trees are great to plant, either just because you like to look at them and you let animals and wildlife eat the fruit, or because you actually want to harvest the fruit, preserve it, eat it yourself. With fruit trees, my thinking has shifted on this a bit over the past few years as I've read some resources from the States and also from France, turn of the century, last century books. Picking a fruit tree, right now you pretty much get, it's called semi-dwarf rootstock, and the rootstock is what determines the size of the tree. Dwarfing rootstock gives you a tree that grows shorter, that stays short, and standard rootstock has a tree that might become 20 to 40 feet tall, like a big apple tree, 30 feet tall. You can keep a fruit tree pruned unnaturally short, and that's perfectly acceptable for fruit production. The advantage to having a rootstock that's, say, the semi-dwarf or the standard is that it is hardier. So the dwarf rooting stock, which produces a shorter tree without work, is less hardy and lives less long. So there's things, if you want to geek out about it a bit, that you can think about for tweaking your tree, its ability to do better over the long term.
We should talk about the timeline a little bit, because we're entering fall and winter's just around the corner. When we're thinking about putting in new trees, should we be jumping at it now? Should we be waiting until spring? Not only for just the fact that it's so cold that a new tree might not grab onto the soil as well, but maybe because the root systems from the old trees need to kind of compost a bit. Are there reasons to consider waiting? When's the best time to consider putting the new trees in?
If you're willing to really keep up on the watering, you can plant a tree at any time during the growing season.
Okay.
Good times or best times, if you're sort of doing this professionally or don't want to pay a lot of attention to your tree, would be spring and fall. Last year, I happened to be planting trees into early December, not because I wanted to or planned to, but because we had a very, very warm fall and late winter.
Yes.
So the ground wasn't frozen and I was able to plant trees that late. Trees should be watered deeply about every week or so, particularly in the first couple of years after planting, because their root systems are establishing themselves. Mm-hmm. So you want to water them deeply once a week, not lots of shallow watering, say, every day.
Can you explain watering deeply? Does that mean literally trying to get the water deep down into the soil? Do you need to poke holes in the ground to do that? Or do you say deeply as in thoroughly?
Deeply means a low, low rate, so a trickle for an hour or more.
Okay.
So that the tree gets about maybe an inch of water in its root system a week. And what that does, in contrast to frequent shallow waterings, is it allows the root system to expand further down into the soil.
Okay.
And out, and with frequent shallow waterings, the roots tend to stay really, really at the surface.
Mm-hmm.
In this part of the state, root systems, for the most part, don't go a whole lot deeper than about a foot and a half, and that's because of bedrock and clay. So we don't have these deep root systems or tap roots. Taproot is really an ephemeral morphological feature of most trees.
Are there reasons to not fill the hole where the tree has been? Is there anything we should be cautious about because the tree that used to be there maybe depleted the soil's nutrients, or the root systems that are there need to be removed more thoroughly than the uprooted tree did by itself?
Well, decaying woody matter, which would be either the stump or the roots, is great for future trees. Trees existed, they grew in forests or developed forests. And so actually having that rotting, the woody roots slowly decomposing over time, is long-term benefit to a tree.
Mm-hmm.
In a yard situation, we use the term landscape, a landscape tree. So a tree that an individual or several individuals that were planting in a yard. Typically, it works out best to have the stump ground if you've had the tree removed. That allows more possibility of planting near or in that same spot. So the stump grinding person might grind the stump 2 to 3, maybe 4 inches below the surface. That decomposes faster, and then you can mix some soil in there and put your tree in there.
I've seen stumps that just had sort of a waffle pattern chainsawed under the top of them. Is that something that people might do to help the stump decompose, cutting grooves into the top of a stump that's visible?
Well, I've not seen that myself, but if I understand your description accurately, it's probably to increase the rate of decomposition.
Okay.
Yep.
Are there things we should think about? Maybe people had trees that were too close together in their yard or too close to a house, so there might be reasons to not consider putting a tree in at all.
This is a great time to edit, not by a choice, but by forces beyond our control.
Yeah.
So maybe there are some trees there and you were apathetic about them. Maybe you really loved them, but now you have a space. So you can take some time to get used to the way your yard looks without the trees there and think about what you might want there instead. It is a good idea to read the tag or do a little online research and look at the maximum at maturity height and width of the tree. Trees grow more slowly in Minnesota, in northern Minnesota, whether they're in a forest or in our yard, because of the cold and the climate. So the growth rate is going to be determined by the variety or species, but it's still going to grow more slowly than a tree would further south in the Twin Cities or Rochester or anywhere south of here. So, yeah, you can think about trees that you'd find in the forests here, and if you like the north woodsy look in your yard or that kind of vibe or appearance, you could also pick something that maybe is a little different, more unusual, or that fits with your aesthetic or the architecture of your house.
Mm-hmm.
Planting trees too close to buildings is really, really common because we forget how trees are going to grow. And it's uber common with arborvitae.
Oh, yes.
There are many, many houses with lovely architecture or outstanding, you know, really noteworthy architecture that are kind of smothered by arborvitae.
Yeah.
So, you know, think about how close you are to the house when you plant your tree. You don't want branches to be rubbing or touching the sides of your house or your roof or your windows, you know, as the tree gets bigger, because that can be damaging to the structure.
Is it inhibiting to the tree as well? Can that be an unhealthy thing for the tree to be rubbing against a structure?
Yeah, minimally.
Okay. What about shrubs? Are they an option that might be another consideration? Are they hardier? Are they less difficult to knock down, I assume, than a tall trunk?
I think it's really your preference, your own aesthetic and what you want your front yard, your backyard to look like. Yeah.
A follow-up question to the type of trees we choose. Some trees, even though they grow slowly in northern Minnesota, may grow faster than other varieties of the species.
Mm-hmm.
Should we consider ones that do grow slowly because they may be able to establish themselves a bit more strongly? Or is a fast-growing tree more susceptible to being knocked down by high winds?
Well, the faster-growing the tree is, the weaker mechanical strength the wood has, and often the poorer the branch structure or the more likely to become problematic.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, slower-growing trees have stronger wood fiber connections and structure. So yes, you know, that in that regard, oaks, certain maples are good choices, but having a tree grow a little bit faster to establish shade for us in our yard is also desirable. So, you know, just pay attention to what you want in your yard and let that be the driver. You might want to think about how the temperatures, our weather, and our climate is shifting. And so if you're a person who likes to think long term, there are trees that are projected to do poorly as the climate gets warmer or as the weather shifts. Birch is one of those. Certain maples will do more poorly. White pine is projected to do great, whatever the climate change scenarios are. I've been reading some research from the Forest Service and for the Houghton Hancock UP area of Michigan, northern Wisconsin, and Minnesota. And of course, scientists look at lots of variables and lots of scenarios. If the climate warms this much on average or this much, and then how are trees affected by that? So, and the researchers are starting to come out with guides that practitioners like I am could use to guide our decisions for clients. So I would still plant a birch for someone if they really liked it. Trembling aspen is a beautiful tree. Sugar maple is a great tree. But I would also say, hey, you know, if you're thinking long term about something and you really like white pine and it fits with the aesthetic that you want in your yard, then this could be a good choice.
The climate projections, of course, are fraught with controversy by some, but we've had some strange weather that isn't what we've been used to over previous decades. So something is changing at this point. Are things generally just getting warmer then? I mean, you were talking about some trees. Is the southern Minnesota variety of tree now more common in northern Minnesota?
Well, trees don't move the way animals do.
So. I understand. I'm just saying that variety would be healthier in this environment now.
It might survive better. Researchers and practitioners and regular folks have opinions about whether we should be introducing species that are more southern areas into our forests.
Mm-hmm.
Some people think that's a good idea because it will help our forests be more resilient and stay forested as these projected changes transpire.
Mm.
Other people think that's playing director where we shouldn't be. We should let nature take its course.
Mm-hmm.
So whichever camp you're in or wherever your opinions are about that, you can still make choices for your individual yard based on good information or asking professionals. My Minnesota Woods, which is a U of M website, myminnesotawoods.umn.edu, has a section for private landowners, so woodland owners, and there's also a section on tree care. That's more what we'd call arboriculture and urban forestry.
Mm-hmm.
That's got some really great resources for homeowners, tree owners. And the Extension Service, U of M Extension, has great resources. The levytreecare.com website has some good information for you. In terms of planting trees, though, we call them abiotic. The abiotic challenges to trees are often more problematic than insect and diseases. So it's water that trees need. Compacted soil can be a real death knell for a new tree trying to get established. And then roots that look like they came out of the pot and still look like they came out of the pot after the tree is dead tells you that that tree never had a chance because it couldn't expand its root system as it grew and needed to water and feed itself better.
As opposed to tree roots that almost look like an underground tree, they've kind of wrapped around themselves because they could not get further away than they wanted
yep.
to be.
Okay. Yeah. So every tree that I plant for a client, wherever I get it from, I do what I call root surgery. I take the dirt from the, like, you pull your tree out of the pot or you look at it and you think the level of the soil that you see is the level of the soil that you should plant it at in your yard. That's rarely the case. You might have as little as an inch to as many as 12 inches of soil or dirt that you need to take off of that trunk before you get to where the root system actually starts. Then I will pull the tree out of the pot. I don't do this on a hot, sunny day, and I don't do it in the sun. I might be in the shade, and I'd keep the roots wet. That's important. And I essentially make what's called, I make a box, I make a square out of the circle, so that the small tree came out of the pot, and it looks like a circle. And I make what we call a box cut, and I probe around for the roots that are coming out radially from the trunk. And a lot of times you'll see that they have hit the side of the plastic pot and they've turned. And as soon as those roots become woody, which means they're kind of hard, mm-hmm. they aren't going to straighten out again. So I look for those. I take a pair of pruners and I clip that end so that it's coming straight out radially like spokes on a wheel. And that cut end will regenerate and grow like it should. And then those roots can expand, access more water, access more nutrients, and grow properly. Right. For a tree that doesn't have that kind of work done to it, eventually the tree gets too big and it can't get the water it needs and it slowly dies.
Okay. Well, so to recap now, it sounds like there's really not a bad time to consider putting a tree in as long as the ground isn't frozen yet. So,
and as long as you water it.
As long as you water mm-hmm. it and look out for certain diseases and things like that. Keep it treated. Excellent. Well, Louise, thanks so much. We appreciate it. This is good news, actually. I thought a lot of us would have to wait until next May to put a tree in, but there's still time.
A lot of time.
Great. Louise Levy of Levy Tree Care, an arborist here in town, helping us decide about how to replace the lost trees in our yard.